You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Come on. Dang. Pastor John said, get ready for North, man. They're on fire. He wasn't kidding. Do you guys all drink Spark? Is it just out? Jeez. Pastor David's like, you need some Spark? I'm like, probably. Give it to me. Give it to me right now. So I apologize. I may have drank too much. But not really. I don't apologize. You know, I just want to, for a lot of you, I don't know. I know, you know, I'm a Central Campus kid, but I've been at C3 since day one. Actually, pre-day one. I was in Pastor Jürgen Lian's house getting offended every Wednesday night at prayer group. Because I grew up as conservative as can be. My dad's here to attest for that. He's probably freaking out right now. But Dad, it's going to be okay. Prophesy over you. No, but I'm glad my dad and his beautiful bride are here. So thanks for coming, Dad. Don't run out. And all these stories. You know what's cool about having your parents here? They're going to be able to validate every crazy story I'm about to tell you. Because some of you are going to be like, that guy's so exaggerating. My dad's here in the lobby afterwards. You can verify every story. I'm actually going to tone him down so I don't offend all the Christianese. But I will say one thing just about Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. It's people with vision. You know, I'll never forget going to those prayer meetings. And I would be offended every time. Praying in tongues, doing all this stuff. I was like, oh, that's not for me. That's of the devil. And I leave every Wednesday. But I'd show up the following Wednesday because God had my heart. And he kept saying, get back there, get back there. And I'll never forget when my grandfather, who was a Lutheran pastor, passed away, and I get choked up thinking about it. He handed me a piece of paper. He said, I've been praying for you your whole life. And I know you're in the right place. And our theology, my theology might have been wrong all these years, and I don't care. Because the Lord told me to give you this. And he handed me in his handwriting on this piece of paper, Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set liberty them that are bruised. I keep that in my Bible because when he gave it to me, I said, you're crazy, old man. Because I was away from the Lord. And now I'm looking up here preaching to you tonight. So I can tell you. Doesn't matter where you've been, but it does matter where you're going. And we're going to shift some stuff tonight. So I want to pray for everybody in this house real quick. So pray with me. God, I thank you for every person in this house. God, I saw the visions that our pastor had for this city. A north, a south, a central. God, an east. A country redeemed for your glory. God, I thank you that our pastors believe in raising up leaders. They see stuff in us that we don't yet see. But God, they believe for something great is going to take place in this great city. So I thank you for what's about to shift tonight. I thank you what's about to drop out of the hearts of these men and women in this house, God. Lord, that we're going to reach up into heaven and grab those things that you have for us, Lord. That we are called to be heroes, God. And Lord, we stand on your word tonight and we give you honor and glory. And all the men and women of C3 said, amen. Amen. So let's do this. Come on. Thank you, Chittix. You know, it's pastor appreciation, so let's make sure we appreciate Pastor David and Brianna. Man, I've never met such a hardworking man in my life. And now a doctor, doctor of love. Maybe I'll get some tips later. I'll take some tips. I don't need any. Come on. All right. Highly favored and anointed. Yes. Don't be offended, all you new people. It's okay. You know, it's so funny. You know, we can't have fun in church. I didn't know that before I came to C3. You know, I was like a C2 Christian. My mom's like, what's that? And I said, I was a castrated Christian. Oh. Yeah, I said that. And then I became a C3 Christian. Thank goodness. God can heal anything. Don't worry. You know, it's true. I knew the word. You know, I grew up in an amazing Christian family. I knew the Word of God. Actually, the story that I'm going to preach from tonight, I knew the story, forward and backwards, but I didn't really know the story. So what happened was I moved to San Diego and I found C3. And then I got to put Word and power together. And it changed my life. Because, see, I was this kid that was full on fire. I believed in this stuff. You know, I played Ouija board. So I saw this stuff happen. But I never, ever experienced on the God side of things happening. But then when I saw that you can put power, Holy Spirit power, and the Word of God together and see lives healed, transformed, people delivered. Come on, how many people like Mike Connell? Pastor Mike Connell? Oh. You can't get enough of that teaching. Who was that DNA Monday night? Oh my gosh. Someone download podcast that, get it? Best teaching I've ever heard on deliverance ministry. How Christians can walk around and not know? How many of you walked around? I mean, this is really what the message about tonight is. It's just, you know, God's called us to be a hero. That's really what my points are. You are a hero. Point number two is remind the devil. That's it. It's the simplest message. You are a hero. Okay, some of you are looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. So let me just define hero real quick. Oh, uh-oh. Can't show that. This isn't on Apple TV, is it? Okay. That's a joke, people. Wow. Might be tough tonight. So let me just define hero. A person who is admired or idolized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. How is that not a Christian? Should be. But when you think a Christian, do you think that? But that's what God thinks. See, some of us, maybe you didn't know the Lord and now you do. Maybe some of you still don't, but you will tonight. Or you just never know that you were called to be a hero. See, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. It isn't. See, if it was about getting saved, guess what? You come forward, you get saved. Why doesn't he just take you to heaven? Because it's not about just giving your life to the Lord. It's about being a light to the world. And yet, how many Christians do we know that aren't the light of the world anymore? Because guess what? The devil's been lying, and unfortunately, we've been listening. 30 years of my life, I listened to that. And then I met Pastor Juergen. Because I already knew Jesus. Do you guys get that? So I just want to get this before I get into the Word so you receive it. Because what happens is, I was a Christian, I knew the Lord. But why would I fall away from him? Because I didn't really know the Lord. And what happens is, when I started to see Jesus for who Jesus really is, why would I run away from him? Even when the devil trips me up, why would I keep running? And then something shifts in your heart. That's when my business propelled, my life propelled, I met my hottie. You know, things shifted in my life because I had a revelation. And when we all have that revelation, we quit listening to the lies of the enemy. We'll see something shift in our own heart. I tell you that because people always talk about good seed, good seed. You're all good seed. But it does matter where you fall. It does matter where you attend church. It does matter that you don't have the revelation I can miss on a Sunday. It does matter that you'll go to a Chargers game and cheer your brains out. But you come to church and you'll be like the Frozen Chosen Presbyterians. Why aren't we getting more passionate about the Word of God than we are a football game on a Sunday? Because obviously you haven't seen what God can really do in your life. And I just want to challenge, because I was challenged. I was offended. I would leave church on Sunday for 6 months, offended and crying. And I finally asked Pastor, if you make me cry one more time, I'm not coming back. I was going to go get my hormones checked. And he said, no, that's the Holy Spirit healing up some old wounds. Because I would leave offended. I would come back, because I wasn't raised a certain way to believe that God was for me. More like he felt like he was against me. Judging, condemning. It wasn't my parents' fault. They prayed for me. Half the reason I'm still standing here is because I had parents that prayed for me. Thank goodness for that. But it was the soil which my seed was planted in. And I will tell you, that's the difference. Where do orange trees grow? Florida, right? Why do orange trees grow in Florida? Because of the weather, the atmosphere, it's the soil. And you'll get orange trees. It does matter where you go. I want you all to know that you're in the right place. I've been 11 years strong, and I'm telling you, it only gets better. If you would have pointed a picture as I knocked the pulpit over of you told me your life's going to look like this, this, and this, I would have said, there's no way that's possible. Get me halfway there, I'll take that. I'm a goal setter by nature. You want to talk about DNA family? Every one of you should be at DNA family, because here's why. My wife and I just went away just for one day. Got away, devices, everything, and we planned our next year for 5 hours. We planned what our purpose is for the next year. We picked our three words for the next year. We talked about how we're going to parent our kids the next year, what the decisions we're going to make. We put all our holidays in, what we're doing every weekend, what church conferences we're going to. See, most people will plan a weekend to Cabo. They'll get the hotel, the rental car, they'll get everything, but they'll never plan their life. They'll never plan a purpose for their kids. They'll never plan on who they want to date. I'm telling you, young people, date with an intention. If you can't see them taking them home to your mom and whoever, your dad, why would you date them at all? We just got to plan for life. DNA family, that's what it's about. We're actually speaking at one of the sessions, and I'm telling you, that's one of our main things is plan your life. God wants you to plan your life and have vision for it. Without a vision, the people perish. So God does have a vision for your life for next year. For the next 3 months, for the next 5 years, we just got to pray about it. I should be preaching out of my message tonight, so let's get right to it. Hello, come on. Get me to the word. Where is it? Let it go. I want to read you a verse, because I want you to get this in. We're all going to read it, actually. It's Romans 8:28. Hopefully you could throw it up there. DPM, that's hilarious. All right, Dr. Pastor Matt, that's never going to get used to seeing that. Neither is my dad, but really? Oh, here we go. Romans 8:28. Let's just read this out loud. We'll break something off right here. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So I want you to know that, because I'm going to bring that verse up a lot. All things work together for good. Because now I want to bring you back to the story of Samson. Who wants to get something tonight? No, really wants to get something tonight. See, everybody wants to be a millionaire, but not many people will work for it. See, it's like this. Who wants this 20 bucks? Well, who wants it? I don't know what just happened there, but it felt right. Felt right. But I'll tell you, I saw a lot of hands go up, but only two people really wanted it. And that's the same thing. When you need a miracle, do you want it, or do you want to sit there and hope an angel brings it to you? A little fairy dust comes down from Halloween and brings you that miracle. Guess what? We have work to do. We got to run up and get that miracle. If you want something tonight, go get it. God wants to get it to you, but sometimes we got to move. You know, so if we move, he moves. We can't just sit back and expect God to do things in our life. Sometimes you got to sow a seed to reap the harvest. I know. I don't know all these lessons. So let me just ask you this question. What if nothing was impossible? And what if Jesus said was true, that we could do greater works than even he could do? Just what if? That's what the word says, that we will do greater works. But what if we actually start believing that and we get up and go after it like those two guys? Even though I heard about maybe 100, I want it. Two people came and got it. Wow. How many of us all are called to know we're going to do greater works than Jesus? But how many are actually going to get up and go do those works? You know, I'm not sitting here preaching to you like I know the answers, because I'll tell you, I got a phone call once where I got asked to go pray for somebody, and I chickened out. They needed a miracle, and I chickened out. Even though every night I said, God, I need to see some more supernatural stuff. I want to see someone raised from the dead. I don't want to go on a missions trip and see it. I want to see it here in the States. I want all these things. And then I got the phone call, and I folded like a deck chair. I was so mad at myself. It took me months to feel like the Holy Spirit released me from it. It was just me, you know, the devil whispering in my ear saying, you'll never get another chance. And then I got another chance to pray for one of my best friends, which I almost chickened out a second time. But this time I had Pastor Juergen's phone number and I called him. And that was Pastor John when he was in the hospital with kidney failure. And he said, I'm in LAX, I'm flying out, but I have another pastor. And he will come. And I called him, I said, I know I don't know you, but he showed up. He walked in that hospital, he laid out a prayer, prayed out of Isaiah. He busted that hospital loose. I sat there with my jaw almost hitting the floor, but it changed my life forever. And because of that, Pastor John was healed. He wasn't a pastor at the time, didn't even go to C3. And now he's a pastor of Central Campus. So you never know what God's gonna do. Do you think, I don't even think John and Becky was on their radar, but he had an encounter, got healed, something shifted, now they're pastors. How many of you called to be pastors, worship leaders, marketplace leaders? But the devil's been lying to you, trying to beat us up a little bit. Just don't forget, we're all called to be heroes. Otherwise, we might as well just go home and be with Jesus. So I want to tell you a story. I'm just going to tell you a couple Dr. Matt stories. I'm going to tell you one Bible story. That's all we got time for. But I learned, you know, this is my why. People always say, you know, why are you so passionate about certain things? This is my why. The devil plays dirty. He's messed up a lot of friends. He kept me in bondage for 30 years. You know, what if we can convince a generation to take themselves out? Because the devil has. See, the devil will come in. He doesn't even have enough demonic presence to get everybody, but he will come plant a seed of doubt, shame, guilt, and then we just take ourselves out, and then he'll move on. C.S. Lewis talks about it in Screwtape Letters. If you read that book, it's amazing. He writes it from the perspective of the demonic saying, is the devil and his minions saying, hey, go mess up that kid, Matt Hubbard. Get him tripped up in this sin. Get him tripped up. Let him feel like he's important. You know, let him meet a DJ downtown and get him a booth for free so he feels like the man. Let him waste lots of his money downtown, feeling like the man, and then get caught up in that. It's amazing how the devil plays, but he does it all. We all have our Achilles heel, and he'll keep playing it, and he'll keep whispering, and we'll keep believing it until the day we don't believe it. So I want to tell you a story about Samson. It's just about one area of Samson's life. See, I grew up hearing about the story of Samson. How many of you know the story of Samson? Dude with total strength, totally yoked out, like Pastor John. But he can rip a gate out of the ground that's like 20,000 pounds and carry it 30 miles up a hill. It's true. Like he's going to carry it to the top of Palomar Mountain, a gate that's 30,000 pounds. I mean, who wants to do that? I wouldn't even put one on a trailer and drive it 30 miles, you know. But that's Samson. And I just, every sermon I've ever heard, every commentary I've ever read, I mean, I got commentaries on that, dude. It was about a life wasted. It was about how this guy was prophesied over. The parents were prophesied, man, you're going to have a kid that's amazing. Kind of like my grandpa that gave me this. In the middle of me screwing up my life, he gives me that. But Samson, at birth, was anointed saying, you're going to set free your people. That's what an angel of the Lord came and told the parents of Samson. So here the parents are stoked. Oh my gosh, we're going to have this amazing kid. He's going to change the world. We're going to set our people free. That's what they thought. How many knows it turned out a little bit different? But at the end, he did set his people free. Just didn't look the same. But here's what I want to tell you about Samson. Forget all the stuff he tripped up. This is the revelation. My friend came in and we were talking about the story of Samson. He said something to me and I felt bad. I was like, oh man, must have been hanging out with too many Mormons, but just because his word was a little off. And I said, I need to go back and, you know, get the right verses and come back and tell him the truth about Samson. He obviously has it wrong. So I went and did this study. I'm reading the book of, you know, Judges, and I'm going through about Samson's life. And guess what? I was the one that was wrong. I was the one that just was maybe listening to all the commentaries but not seeking out for myself. How many times do we do that? Especially now. By the way, I know it's Stars and Stripes. I wore my belt. That's right. There's the stars. Yep. A little bit of fat in there. Sorry about that. But it was kind of going over my belt. That's never happened before. I'm going to start working out, babe. I'm sorry. I'm preaching about Samson. It's like fatty Samson. It's like, Holy Spirit, come back. Sorry. Anyways, so Samson, I just want to read this verse to you. Okay, I just want to tell you about Samson's life real quick. Fast forward. This is pre-Samson knowing that he's the man. Pre him knowing that he had supernatural strength. This was Samson as a kid growing up, and he realized something. He saw a hot chick, and he wanted her. He saw a Philistine girl, which that was a no-no. And he even went to his parents and he said, Dad, I want that girl. Go get her. And you know what his dad said? That's a bad choice, son. And he said, I don't care. That's the girl I want. Okay, right there. We already know we're in trouble. And in the parents' mind, they're going, okay, we're going to have a little talk. Send the wife in. That didn't work either. So in this verse right here, I just want to say, now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, the daughters of the Philistines. She was hot. That's added. That's that. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Who says that? Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among my people that you must go ahead and get a wife from this uncircumcised Philistine? I don't know how a woman, I don't even know, but... And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Already he's living in sin. Lusting after a woman. So he's already living in sin. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. And this is the hardest part I had to swallow. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to a vineyard of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore that lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. I don't even know how you tear apart a young goat, but that's, you get the visual. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. It's like, where did mom and dad go? It starts the verse, mom and dad were with him. Then he goes into a vineyard, who knows what he's doing. A lion comes. Tears it apart. It was like, man, if my parents were, you know, going on a trip with me to go meet my new hottie that they disapprove of, where are they suddenly? My dad's an ex-Marine. I mean, I would expect for him to take over. See, Samson didn't even know his strength at this point, but a lion came, and this is what I'll tell you. He didn't back down from that lion. He stood toe-to-toe with that lion, and the Lord came upon him. And this is what I want to tell you about that. He was on his way living in sin to meet a girl he shouldn't be messing with, and the Lord still came upon him. How can you be living in sin and God still show up in your life to do a miracle in your life when you need him? And then he had strength that said the Lord came upon him and he tore that lion apart. How many of us have just been in the wrong place at the wrong time? But God showed up. And then I remind you of Romans 8:28. That what happened was, even though we can be on one way in the wrong situation at the wrong time, God can still show up in our life and a miracle can come out on the other side. But the devil always shows up too and whispers in our ear, you're not good enough. You screwed up. You shouldn't be going with that girl, but you are. God's never going to bless you. It's amazing how many times I heard that. Where was his weapon? He had nothing. The word says he had nothing in his hand, but he tore that lion to pieces like a goat. See, how many of you guys understand that Samson had to be in that moment to realize who he was? Without that lion, he would have never found his strength. How many times have there been circumstances in our life that were like, oh, how are we going to get out of this? But God turned it around for his glory, and something great came out on the other side. I have story after story after story. One of them, I was in Washington, D.C. It's pretty funny. Actually, even before that, oh, yeah, that was eighth grade. That was, nothing was before that. I was already in trouble in eighth grade. I went out. I found out my window was open on the Holiday Inn Express. I crawled out that window. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be able to sneak into these girls' rooms. It's going to be amazing. I'm tapping on the windows. I'm like, open your window. I mean, who doesn't do that in eighth grade? Where are my eighth graders? I mean, don't do this, none of you. I was on a Washington, D.C. trip, all right? I went back there. I was going to do the Vietnam thing for my dad, get him some old friends, you know, all these things. And what happened was I decided to turn it into a party. But I was the only room that didn't have the set screw, so no one else could get on the roof and party with me. How many know, though, I was pretty smart, and the next day I went and got a screwdriver and made sure, hey, you got... I didn't know those all the girls would go give it to all the other guys' rooms. So in eighth grade... It was too bad. In eighth grade, you know, you just eat too much sugar, too much candy. I was deathly ill that night. And so I was in my bed while everybody else was out on the roof partying. But how many of you know that when the security comes and everybody gets busted, they can't fly everybody home? So guess who was the problem child? Yeah. So they were going to send me home. But this is where God showed up. And I'll never forget it, man. My parents got the phone call. They were sending me home. They caught me on the roof, but not really. It was just witnesses. I mean, the truth is, if you're, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, I shouldn't say that joke. You guys probably, let me do it. Okay, if I'm in the middle of the forest and I give my opinion and there's no woman around, am I still wrong? I'm just saying. That could have been over here. Sorry. Just means that all men are wrong all the time. That's all men for all you young people. Just learn now. All right, back to my story. Listen, I was the guy that got sent home, but guess what? There was no plane to get me home. I mean, no, that's a God thing. How is there suddenly not a plane out of Washington, D.C. that's going to get me home? They couldn't get me on a flight. So he said, you're going to go upstairs with the travel company that put this thing on. You're going to sit there with the chaperone. Okay, fine. For 3 days, I was going to have to sit up in that room while the rest of my school went on the trip. How many know now my parents are really ticked? They had to pay a lot of money for a 3rd kid to not go on a trip. But as the Lord would have it, the son of the entire company, who was just on vacation from Emory University that wanted to learn the trip, felt bad for me. Turned on some movies, snuck me out, took me to the Vietnam Wall, snuck me around, did everything VIP style. Yeah. Free pizza every night. And when my school would come home, I would just pretend like I was suffering, hating life. As soon as the school left the next morning, they would take me out again for the best school trip of America. But that wasn't all. God didn't start there. I want to tell you the favor that was upon that. Not only that, he became a close friend of mine to the point where my brother, 2 years, 9 months younger than me, he got a free trip to Washington, D.C. Gets even better. I got to go to Lake Tahoe. I got to go to every extravaganza, flown around the world. They gave me their cabin in Colorado, that I went to for year after year after year. I can tell you that even better, when I was in grad school, I would take a quarter off every year, and I made about enough money to pay for grad school just working back in Washington, D.C., 3 months out of every year. All that from a screwed up kid, because all things work together for those that love the Lord. I'm telling you. See, Samson had to have something look absolutely wrong to be in a situation that created something right. I never read that in Samson before. I looked at him as a failure, as a guy with all this potential, and that he just wasted his life over a girl just to kill himself in the end of it. That's all I ever saw. But why would God put that in the Bible? Why would he keep saying, and you read all through the story of Samson, the Lord came upon him. The Lord came upon him. Sure, he was slipping up. Sure, he was making mistakes. But every time the Lord would come upon him, and that's the time where he needed anger management, and he ripped the gates out of Gaza. And then if you really want to get into how awesome the Word of God is, it was back in Genesis chapter 25, actually 22 through 25. It talks about how Abraham was said, you'll possess the gates of your enemy. And he was buried chapter 25, Abraham was in Hebron. And if you read the story of Samson when he ripped those gates out, remember I was kind of joking around how he carried him 30 miles? Those were the gates of his enemy. And he walked him all the way and laid him down where Abraham was buried. How do you tie that whole Bible together? That's if you really start reading the Word of God, he'll start revealing things to you. Not just the Sunday school Samson story about a guy that failed. Nuh-uh, he didn't fail. He actually, there were some prophecies that he had finished that were given in Genesis that he finished in Judges. He had purpose in his life. And when your purpose is bigger than your problems, you'll start to see your destiny in front of you. See, what I learned is that lion had to come. See, sometimes we start judging what is happening in our life, in our relationships, in our business, and we quit and we forget to see that Romans 8:28 verse. We start beating ourselves up so the devil doesn't have to. How many times do we know friends that just take themselves out? They'll never go for that business adventure again. They'll never ask that girl on the date again. They'll never say yes to a date if they're the woman. Maybe they don't want to go back to church because maybe they felt convicted. No, it's just the devil in their ear. How many knows you want to keep them out of church? There's so many times I didn't go. But thank goodness I had a mom that would call me and go, did you go to church on Sunday? She was a travel agent for Guilt Trip, so I'd end up going. So I would just, you know, I'd be like, oh, the phone's ringing. I got to go. Can't talk right now. I just run to the Christmas church service, come back. Mom, of course I went. Of course I went. I love you. Pray for my brother. See, how many of us are in a season of playing small, trying to avoid conflict? Because how many know he was in that vineyard, he saw that lion. He could have just backed up and gone around. But he said, no, my destiny's on the other side of this vineyard. He faced that conflict. I know so many friends that play small just so they don't have to have conflict in their life. But that's not what God called us to do. How many know if you're going to get some muscles, not like me, but Pastor John, but you actually have to lift and work out. It's true. How many know you got to put on the heavy weights to start getting some muscle tone? You got to do the heavy lifting if you want to look good. You got to maybe watch what you put in your mouth if I want to get my six-pack back. I will. Don't doubt me. I see David up here shaking his head because he beat me in ping pong, and that's like the rumor around here. It's cool. He beat me once. It's the journey, buddy. It's the journey. Just remember who's emerged champion, but no big deal. No big deal. And all you men, I hope you do go to Emerge. Because I've had friends fly down, and guess what? They got their mojo back. They got their roar back. And guess what? They're doing things different in their life. And they would have never had that unless they had the atmosphere of men's Emerge, where it was just men building each other up. I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. See, how many of you get that Samson needed his conflict to find out who he was? And in verse 6, that's when it said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And we just got to remember that God can still show up no matter where you're at right now in your life. But you got to get up and grab it. We got to quit listening to the devil whispering in our ear, saying, we're not good enough. You can't do it. You're not smart enough. God never gives you a dream, a business idea, for you just to sit there and go, God's a tease. No, he put something in your heart for a reason. And sometimes I will tell you this. I'm going to tell you the hard truth. Sometimes you got to look at the people around you. You know, you might have to cut off relationships for a season. You might have to shift for a season so you can find out what God's purpose and calling for your life is. And then guess what? When you are the light of the world, they'll jump back on because they see something different in your life. When God starts to shift something in your life and something starts to move in your life, then guess what? People are attracted to that. They want to fight. In this dark world, when they see a light, they're going to start following you. My question is, don't let the devil put out your light. You got to get your light back, and you got to hang out with people that are shining brighter than you are. That's what I love about C3, never afraid to challenge you. Never afraid to challenge you. How many of you feel stretched when you come to C3? So true. I was stretched month after month, year after year. Serve, love, give. Fresh, real, and powerful. Those are what this church was founded on, were those words. Fresh, real, and powerful. So fresh to the point I thought people were like, that no one can be this happy all the time. Pastor Ergen was so positive. I was like, oh my gosh. My Pastor Ergen, you've said a lot of nice things about me. You got to quit lying to yourself. I felt like, dude, you're like, I am going to let you down in a big way. And he goes, you could never let me down. Just spoke faith into me and faith into me and faith into me. And some people come here and it's like, oh man, that's too much faith. How can you have too much faith? I had a friend come to our church and say, you know what? Like 40 people smiled and said hi to me before I even got to my seat. There's no way. Do people get paid to do that? Bro, our high team is not paid. They just are filled with the Holy Ghost, and guess what? Joy is coming off them. Why are there a bunch of people down here jumping during worship? Because they're filled with joy. That's weird. They do it at a concert. Love that music. Why wouldn't they do it praising the Lord? It's just sometimes we get so used to playing religion, we forget about what Jesus is doing in our life. You know, God's bigger than our bad decisions. That's one thing I had to come to grip with. God, I made too many bad decisions. And then Pastor Jurgen told me, God's bigger than them. Yeah, I know, I get that in concept. No. It's not a concept. It's reality. Every one of us. Man, I think what happened for 30 years, I didn't know how much love, unconditional love, our Savior had for us. I heard it every Sunday, but I just didn't get it. How did I get it? Because I didn't see it. I saw it. I imagined the trees, but I didn't see the fruit of that tree. And it's when we start to take that fruit, and it's good fruit. Because a tree, like even Jesus, man, he cursed that fig tree. You know why? It wasn't producing fruit. You look around at all the great fruit. That's what I love about C3. They're not going out to find pastors somewhere else. They're raising up a generation of pastors from the inside out. Who gives me the platform to come preach a message? Who would do that? Are you crazy? I mean, I get my grandpa. He had to write that on some level. He's a pastor, you know? And he was my grandpa. But why would our pastors entrust all these amazing people? Because they know they can't do it alone. And they're going to raise and release, raise and release. Some of you are going to be raised and released. Some of you are going to get your dreams back. Some of you are going to start seeing God visions again. Some of you are going to say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to the devil anymore. But some of you are going to come in here and you're going to cry every service for about 6 months. And you know that's okay too. Wherever you're at, it's the right place. And keep coming back in that soil. Keep coming back into it. You know, I always think about David having 33 mighty men. Could you imagine? It's not like he had to go out and look that hard. They said they were coming to him. My question is, do you have 33 mighty men in or mighty women or mighty men in your life? That's why the women go to Cherish, the men go to Emerge, to find those other individuals that are shining. I love the women wearing their shirts. Not today, devil. How many, literally, every time I see that, I laugh, but it's so good because it's a reminder. How do you renew your mind if you never see it? I'd wear that shirt just to prophesy over myself every day. Not today, devil. It's funny. I see it, and I just, in my mind, I say it. How many of you do the same thing? How many know that Samson didn't have many friends? But God still used him. You know, couple things that I just want you to get, that Samson didn't need a lion. He didn't need a Delilah until he did. See, what happens is if you've ever seen a bow and an arrow, I wish I had an arrow here, but that arrow can never be shot unless it's pulled back with resistance. But when it's pulled back with resistance, it's launched into its destiny. And everything up until this point that you may have been doing or done, draw a line in the sand. Say, God, use me. God, shoot me into my destiny. Because at some point, listen, it probably would have been awesome if it turned out the way his parents were hoping. But God still used him all along the way to, you know, finish his prophecy of what they said in the very beginning, that he would unleash the nation of Israel. But how many ever called to light a fire in San Diego? In the schools of Carlsbad, San Marcos, Vista. So central, I was going to start preaching about central schools. But we're in North Campus. But San Diego County needs a young generation on fire. See, I'm believing that God, when he puts a lion in front of you, you're going to tear that thing. You're not going to step down. You're not going to have fear rise up. I love when they were singing that song. And she was prophesying, saying there's someone here with the spirit of fear. We got to bust those spirits of fear because the devil just whispering in our ear, trying to steal our mojo, trying to tell us the things that we don't want to hear. You know, we've all had flashes of greatness somewhere in our life. And I would tell you to get on those flashes of greatness and stay there. For me, it was prayer. I never grew up knowing how to pray until I watched that pastor come in and pray for Pastor John. And I said, I want to know how to pray like that. And he said, it took me 3 books. So I'm like, 3 books of the Bible, which ones? And he goes, no, 3 books. I read my Bible every day, which I encourage you to do. Get the word of God on the inside of you. But he gave me 3 books. It was Prayer Evangelism, God's Generals, and Prayer Revival. He gave me those 3 books. He says, build up your inner faith, man, so you can pray and believe for things to happen. So it started off, Pastor John got out of the hospital. We started our prayer group, 3 of us, and it was pathetic. It was pathetic. I don't even know if God showed up the first 2. But on the 3rd one, he definitely showed up. 3rd one for sure. So don't quit. But I'll tell you, that prayer changed my life. And then now that we have over 60, 70, 80, 90 men at 5 a.m. on a Tuesday, and my pastor was faithful enough probably to save my marriage because we were burning the house down downstairs. My wife would be pounding on the floor. You're too loud. Babe, we're praying for breakthrough. You're about to get a broken jaw. Okay. And pastor's like, here's the keys to the church. But I'll tell you, it's amazing. Amazing to see what's happened out of that prayer meeting. The last thing I'm going to end on is this, is that so many stories that I can tell you about in my own life. But see, it took a crazy girl to show up in my life to make me realize that I had to make changes. See, if that crazy girl never came into my life where I was making bad decisions, I would have never started making the right decisions. So I can sit there and beat myself up for that crazy girl and me slipping into sin and all that stuff, or I can praise the Lord that he showed up and came upon me in that situation. Because if it wasn't for that crazy girl and the Lord coming upon me, I would have never felt his presence. And I drew a line in the sand. I said, I want more of the Lord than I do that. But it was because of that situation that I will never say, oh, I wish it didn't happen. Because it's what made me realize I need to be the man God's called me to be so I can get the wife that God's blessed me to have sitting on the front row right here. I could have easily, due to guilt and shame, taken myself out of church. Guilt and shame, take myself out of confessing to my pastors where I was at. Many of my parents where I was at. Could easily, and I have so many friends that have already done that. They made a mistake that it was just too far past the line that they don't even want to tell their friends about. We got to go with the next level of grace if we're going to reach this generation, people. The next level. We got to just open arms open wide, receive men, let God heal them up. We don't need to be counselors. Let the Holy Spirit be the counselor. But keep bringing them back. We are called to be the light of the world. What's that look like tangibly? Good. I'm going to grab someone's hand, and I'm going to walk them across the room, and I'm going to put their hand on the doorknob and let them open it, because many of them can't find their way. It's so dark in there, they can't find their way to the door, but they want to know where that door is. It's free will. They can choose whether they're going to open that door or not, but we got to get them there, because we know that room. We've been there before. We could do it in the dark if we had to, but we're not the dark. We are the light, and I encourage you. Then no matter where you're at, go get your miracle. No matter where you're at, let God heal up some stuff. So I just want to pray for you. Those of you that don't know Jesus, I want you to know him. It's not just me. I want you to experience him. Going to heaven's one thing, but changing the world. I mean, you know Jesus, we're going to heaven. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to get a chance to know him. But those of you feeling guilty too, or shameful, or feel like you've tripped up, it doesn't matter where you're at and you want breakthrough in that area, I want to pray for you too. I mean, I got to tell you, it was really hard for me ever to go to the altar because I grew up Christianese. How are you doing? I'm doing great. Thank you. Highly favored and blessed. Yeah. Yep. You know my parents, they sit on the board of the church. Of course I'm good. Walking in sin my whole life. Too prideful to ever take that face mask off. When I came to C3 and my pastor, I watched my pastor get up on the altar. I said, oh man, what's he doing? He'd be kicked out of my church. And he told me afterwards, he goes, man, God was dealing with me for some stuff. So I just want to tell you, never don't think the altar can't alter you. So let me pray for you guys right now. So God, I thank you for everybody in this house. God, I thank you that you're shredding people's lines right now. That God, you're breaking off old patterns of sin. You're breaking off addiction. You're breaking off scarcity mindset. You're breaking off offense. God, you're healing people supernaturally right now. God, in their hearts, God, so they can get back on the train to where you're taking them, God. Lord, we know the devil comes in to whisper in our ear, God, and I just ask right now that you heal every broken heart, that you seal a good work in them right now. And God, those that don't know you, that God, they're going to get to know you. That God, they're going to get planted in this house right now, God. Lord, we just ask for supernatural deliverance and healing. God, you're softening hearts that have a callus over it, that no matter how old they are, they can get back and start dreaming again. Lord, we're called to build your kingdom, and we can have a fun time doing it, God. And you can bring joy and let it overflow. So, God, I pray for every of those that don't know you. And right now, if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, I just encourage you to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you right now. No matter where you're at, God's going to meet you. And I want to pray for you. If there's any of those people here tonight that don't know Jesus as your Savior, that he can come and rescue you at any time, I just encourage you to lift your hand, and I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I just thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you for this campus and this leaders and what you're doing at C3. God, that you're raising a generation that's fearless. That, God, they're in the right place under the right leadership. God, that they're going to hunger after your word. They're going to crave after your word, God. Lord, but they're also going to learn your power. Lord, that they're going to learn how to pray with authority. That they're going to be bold in their schools and pray for the sick. They're going to pray for the lost. They're going to be able to set the captives free, Lord. Lord, and they'll say, where did you find this kid? But God, we need it to be the norm in the church. Lord, let every church in San Diego rise up with spirit power and learn to walk in authority that you've given them. I thank you for tonight, God. We honor your platform. We honor the house of God. We give you honor. And all the church said, amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.